RCR with Paul Brennan.
Let's do another Money Talk segment here at RCR. It's great to have Farzan Irani back with us for this episode of Money Talks. Farzan, great to have you back. I hope you're well.
Yes, I'm keeping well, mate. Good morning to you and the listeners. It's good to be back.
We're talking, it's playing on the day after that we chatted, and today, as we do this, is Australian Budget Day, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. They'll be announcing something today.
Okay. One thing that caught my eye, and I know it caught yours, was the government announcing assistance in the house buying market with, well, you can go through the figures, and it sounds a bit too good to be true.
It's always too good to be true when the government's trying to spin something off, saying, look, we really care about our citizens, right? This is a help to buy scheme that they're saying. The one thing we never address, or the government's never addressed, is why are houses so expensive? As I said, it's the money printing and it's the inflation. But obviously, we're going into an election coming up. I think they're going to have it around, they say they have to have it in the next 3 to 4 months. So it's buying votes. And what they're saying is the help to buy, people can't afford houses, or look, house prices are so expensive. We're going to actually put in, don't worry about creating a deposit or saving a deposit for yourself, because in metropolitan cities like Sydney and Melbourne, it might take you so many years to save a 20% deposit. So just come up with a 2% deposit. Okay, just a 2% deposit, and the government will come up with about 40% for new builds and about 30% for existing homes. And the participating lenders or the banks or financial institutions will then give the customers a loan on the remaining amount. So what they're just trying to sell is, hey, we know you can't save a 20% deposit or big enough deposit and the market's moving away from you. So we'll come in and we will help you to buy, but we'll take equity in it. And if, as you said, it's taxpayer money being funded, made it look like the government's doing us a big damn favor to own the house again. And yeah, you remember what the World Economic Forum said, right? You'll own nothing and be happy.
Well, 2% is basically equivalent or close to nothing.
Yeah, of course, of course. As I said, mate, when the system collapses, they get the last gullible people in. They've got to get you in. They've got to make as many people as poor and destitute as they can. So they're saying this is, it's not even targeted at very low income people, right? So they've increased the salary threshold from 90 to about 100,000 as well. So it's not just anyone who can get it.
Which tells you that even people on a reasonable income, or would have been considered reasonable, are struggling to get there totally.
Exactly my point. And if you're earning $100,000 and the government's saying just pay a 2% deposit, it's a joke. But this is a gimmick to try and win votes for the uneducated people, or people who are sitting on the fence, or who just are sick and tired of renting and they want to buy their house. As I've said before, not only are we coming to the end of the cycle of this whole housing Ponzi scheme, these guys will get wiped out when things happen, and governments will say, okay, sorry, you paid the mortgage for the last 3 or 4 years. We have the 40% stake. You could just rent it off us. Remember what I've said, you can rent it still. They'll allow you to stay in the properties, but you won't own it. And the whole point is, if you own something outright, you're free. Otherwise, you're a slave to the system.
Wait on question here. Whoa. So is this a way of, like you said before, class fob, you will own nothing. Is this a way of getting everybody renting in the end? I mean, there'll be a transition phase to that. But ultimately, because it is a Ponzi scheme, you said that, because people will rush in, some will top out while the rush is still going, but there'll be a lot left holding the baby.
In, you're right, and that is, I wouldn't necessarily say that's the government saying, but they have to be seen to be helping people. But the question is, it's not, I don't know why most people don't ask a simple question. Where does the government get its money from? It's by taxing us. So they're not doing anyone a favor. I was looking at, you know, with the woke bill that's happening in New Zealand that we spoke last time, and that the bank should do the right thing and lend on commercial purposes. I looked at ANZ's profit just for the last quarter ending December 2024. And yes, people talk about billions. I've just written this down. Their profit was 2.29 billion, the highest it's ever been. Okay. We know every year just keeps increasing. But I just
Wow.
broke that down into a daily amount. And you know what that is? Their per day is 10.22 million profit. That's
Per
just
day.
profit.
Wow.
10 million a day. And they say,
Jeez.
oh, we can't take a hit to our book. Now, are banks very profitable? They are. And then we have excuses where the government says, oh, yeah, we're regulating them. You saw the RBNZ governor has also resigned. Let's say there
Yep.
was pressure there at certain points because he
Have you
wants
heard anything
certain.
about that? Why that might be?
He wants, well, I think there was pressure because he obviously wanted us to have higher capital ratios
Yep.
to kind of
Oh.
prepare the banks for what could come next. And the banks are saying, no, it's because of that we can't lend more into the economy, and that's why we can't help people. Our finance minister had said she was going to take the banks to task, which hasn't really happened either.
No.
So they carry on, they keep making their profits. And as I said, 10.2 million a day in profit
Wow.
for the biggest bank in New Zealand. And this is only New Zealand. Can you imagine in Australia? Can you imagine
Yeah,
in
I was even
bigger
wondering if
economies?
that included Australia, but that's New Zealand.
That's New Zealand only. Okay, so it's
Wow.
crazy. And as I said, the money doesn't exist. So they're making money on money that doesn't exist.
Okay, let's move through because I'm always thinking of time. I saw Christine Lagarde, the head of the European Central Bank, just in the last week, announced that October 2025 was the target for rolling out the digital euro. So it's happening. And also, I see she's just been let off the hook, let's say, in the French courts for a loan of 440 million, I think, francs. To a French person. I don't have the name in front of me. So that's interesting. So digital euro on the way. Last year, they passed the digital wallet. They want to go with that. And of course, in the digital wallet goes the digital euro, right?
Yeah, that's right. So they've, I think on our CBDC series as well, I'd mentioned is the first thing they have to do is a digital ID, which was kind of the COVID process. Once they've got that in, now when there's people ramming cars through markets and stuff, they've got to say, hey, we've got to know everyone who's in Europe. I know Europe is also making it very difficult for people to travel right now. Even Americans need certain kinds of visas to enter in. So there's this bifurcation, which I'd already mentioned about. But once you have the digital ID, now they're going to get the digital euro, or what they still want to say is called digital cash. First of all, I also want people to understand Christine Lagarde. She knows nothing about finance or money, okay? She's a lawyer. She was put there in place
Okay.
because of certain reasons. So is Jerome Powell, who's the head of the Federal Reserve in the US.
Yep.
They're not finance people, they're lawyers.
Lawyers always seem to come up in everything. We've just had this controversy here with Dr. Sam Bailey and the medical council, and she informed us that the medical council now are all lawyers
Yeah,
without any medical background at all.
exactly. They need lawyers in there to try and maneuver through the process for a law that only works in their favor. When it works in our favor, they change the rules and regulations, right? The laws are changed. Something else is quickly throwing in there. In South Korea, the president was supposed to be impeached. Their Supreme Court has just said, oh, no, we're not going to impeach him. So he's back on the roll because if he's supporting a certain side, the rules don't apply to them somehow. The judges rule in their favor, just as we saw all the judges in the US are voting against everything that Trump and Elon Musk have done to cut budgets. And they're saying, no. So when the
Yeah, so the
fraud gets
judges are
caught,
activists. They're activist
they
judges.
are activists. The judicial system isn't working for everyday people, mate. And I have mentioned this over the last 2 years. Citizens are going to start seeing through the rubbish, through, they're going to pull the wool over their eyes, and they're eventually going to see nothing my government is doing is in my favor, other than these soft bribes that they do with all on this. But the average person is going to see through this, and we're seeing rising civil unrest in quite a few countries as well. Romania, Serbia, there's Turkey right now, and there's also in Israel. Something I'd like to share with the I just want people to understand, like, because of the stuff that I do in Romania, the guy who was leading was not allowed to run. Now, most people would wonder, okay, that's what they were trying to do with Trump as well. But if you understand two layers below, which I do with my clients, they're trying to build the biggest NATO army base in Romania. Most people don't know this.
I
I
knew
knew.
that. Yeah,
Oh,
I knew
you
that.
knew. So
It's
great.
huge. It's bigger than
And
anything that's ever been made.
exactly right. Exactly right. And he's going to stop it. He's not supporting NATO. So how do you build Europe's biggest military base on the border close to Ukraine if the guy who doesn't want to go to war with Russia comes in power? So now they've just not even let him run for elections. Now they say they're saving democracy, but they're actually harming democracy. How can they save democracy by stopping democracy? How can they save free speech by stopping free speech? So people are seeing through the hubris. People are seeing through that these guys are just doing whatever they need to do to win and just stay in power. And as I mentioned, between now and 2032, Matt, and I keep bringing this up, between now and 2032, people are going to see through this facade of democracy, and people will just say, no, we've had enough. We don't want this democracy where we vote for someone, but when they get into parliament, they do completely something else. It's not working for us. We want direct democracy. Well, hopefully, let's see if we go there. So we're going to have trouble between now and then. Now, coming back to the UK, so that's a UK and Europe. So what Europe has done is, as you can see, America's saying, no, we don't want this war. We want peace. And I've told you from the start, the next sovereign debt crisis comes either in Japan or Europe. Europe's already in too much trouble. I also mentioned the French government bonds are priced higher than their corporate bonds, which means people don't even trust the French government anymore. And the government bonds are going up in value. So is the German Bunds. What happens in this case is they're going to go broke. They need someone to blame. And I've mentioned this before as well. They will blame it on war and they will blame it on Putin. Now, if America comes in and says, we're not having a war and the system collapses, people will come out with pitchforks because they lost all their savings and all of that stuff. So they need to start this war in the next couple of months. And if you see everything that's happening, you can see the play and all of that. Sorry. With Zelensky going in there and now saying, we want a peace deal just for a month. So they get peacekeepers in there, they'll create a false flag, blame it on Russia, and they'll say, now we just can't trust Russia. We have to go to war. And that's why they're saying we need to build a European army for NATO. And this is where the CBDC comes in, because they also have another fund they've about just started, which is supposedly going to take European savings of European citizens, which are just sitting there, she says, right? She just says, it's just sitting there. So we'll invest it in building a military base. Now, imagine if our prime minister said, hey guys, anyone who's got savings in the bank account, don't worry. The government's just going to take it and build tanks, and we're going to build a military base, and we're just preparing for war. And I've said this all along, we are in World War III. It doesn't matter what Trump does. The question is whether the US gets involved or not. We are going to World War III. Europe's going to start it now, with Poland now actually saying they want to increase their military to 500,000, which will make it the third biggest military in the world. France with their nuclear weapons and all the rhetoric. So we're going through times where Europe is in big, big trouble. They need to start the war so then they can blame it on Russia. Now, coming back to the CBDC, I think to one of your guests, you've already spoken about gold. I want to explain this just to people. It's okay for me to talk about it now because the gold, most of it has moved to the US. What happens in times of war is I don't want to leave my money in banks. I just don't want to leave it in banks, in European banks, if I know tanks are going to be running and there's going to be nuclear warheads flying around, right? So you take your money out of war zones and you put it where it's a safe haven. Now, for the next 4 years with Trump there, they're seeing signs that US is at least a little more common sense and they can trust their banking system out there. Banking systems can't be trusted anywhere, but a little bit more. So you're seeing capital move away from Europe. And the best way to do it, because there's already capital controls, which I'm hearing from some of my clients in Europe. You try and do an electronic transfer, money doesn't sometimes get out. It has to be moved somewhere else and then somewhere else. And that's why gold and Bitcoin are the two ways where they buy that and then they can liquidate it at the other end. So gold has been moving to the US. And again, there's not much gold, if I'm being honest. For every ounce of gold, there's about 120 ounces in contracts. So at some stage, you're going to see gold skyrocket, especially when the war takes off. But what a central bank's digital currency lets you do is they don't now have to tell the banks to stop your movement of, let's say, $10 million to the US. You just can't. As you mentioned in a CBDC series, I just want to explain a couple of things. It's programmable. They can put geofencing on it. What geofencing means is, as we've talked about 15-minute cities, if you If you move outside a certain area, your money won't work. Imagine you get outside the euro area, your money won't work. So this is why she said launch date October 2025, and only if the council approves, right? We know that, right? So they're planning a digital euro to have capital controls in place. As I said, I can talk about stuff now because most of my clients and the very wealthy people do this stuff before what's coming,
Right.
because the new war was coming in Europe anyway. So
So that pretty well, because it's quite chilling actually what you've just said. So that is a market response, and the market always seems to be, well, sometimes it's irrational, but maybe it's the most rational thing most of the time because the money talks. So the shifting of gold is basically an anticipation of war.
yes. Gold is, and I mentioned this before, gold doesn't do anything just because, as much as the normal economists will tell you it's to do with inflation, inflation was going up for 30 years. Gold wasn't going up that much. So it was moving, it keeps track. But the main thing about about gold is it's a geopolitical asset. So when you've spoken to one of your guests as well, he's right. In times of war, China buys gold.
Yeah.
China has been liquidating US treasuries and buying gold instead, because gold is a neutral asset, right? You just got to understand that. It's as simple as that. The gold doesn't care whether I'm Chinese or Russian.
Right.
It sits in my walls and it does it right. Now, if I'm China and I have US treasuries in the billions, and if I go to war with the US, they will cancel my currency, or they will
Yeah, so
cancel,
you might as
sorry, they
well
will
have the
cancel the US
solid
treasuries. They
blocks
just
of
won't honor
gold
it.
in a vault
So I
somewhere.
change it to gold. The other thing in China, what they're doing is they're telling the insurance companies that a certain part of their balance sheet can be divested and be invested in gold. So instead of just having US treasuries on your balance sheet, you would have gold. Insurance companies are doing that. So again, the smart money moves before the fact. And
Yeah.
that's why I say I could talk about it now. Doesn't mean gold is going to keep going up. You might see a correction. And again, there's not a prediction, but a correction in the next month, small correction. And then we're off to the races around May, June. So when I say races, it doesn't mean it's just going to triple. But anyone in New Zealand knows, I think about 4 years back, an ounce of gold in New Zealand was about 3,000 New Zealand dollars. It's now about 5,400.
Yeah.
That's because gold is going up in US dollars. And that just tells you how much the New Zealand dollar has depreciated against the
Yes,
US
tell me
dollar.
about it. Last time I paid American dollars. Yeah.
That's it. That's it. So just understand certain things. And again, that's why people might say, why war? Why war? It affects everything. It affects your life.
Yeah. Farzan, great to catch up again, as always. I look
It's
forward to talking
always
again
a
soon. All
yeah,
right.
it's always a pleasure, man. I really love talking to you and the audience.